You're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hello and welcome to Boggy Talk. I hope everybody's doing great. And it's August, guys, the second week of August.
Can you believe that? The second week of August. Hey, that was a really good introduction.
Well,
new introduction person.
I practiced way too long on that, so.
I feel like people are probably like, oh, wow, I can actually, like, relax, you know, this Boggy Talk.
Justin's voice is really high.
Oh, that's true. They say that anyway, Justin, when you sing. But
I do have to temper it because I'm like, hey, I'm like, oh, good.
Well, there's times when you sing that I'm like, yeah, I'm not going up there with them. I'm not going up there.
You do you.
That's
all right.
I don't even have a super deep voice, but I'm just like, I'm not going up there with them.
Oh, hey, it is August.
It's hot.
Crazy. It's so hot, and it's back to school, and it's like, and then high 90s and 100 degrees. Why is it this way? Is global warming real? I don't know. Having an existential crisis.
You're a shepherd for sale, man. You're a shepherd for sale.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but things are going well.
Yeah. How school's starting back up. Everybody's starting to get in the hang of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. yeah, I mean, our big kids kind of settle into routine pretty quickly. Our little ones, they're excited. They're still young enough to be excited about back to school. We're
this,
okay.
This is wild, but we only have three schools that our kids are in this year,
okay.
So that's very nice for us.
You guys have three schools too, don't you, Kelly?
Four.
Four.
Oh, wow. You have four, and they're all,
yes,
oh,
four
wow.
schools. But I do not have to transport one to one
okay.
of those schools. He's
okay.
transporting himself, so yeah. technically three, but
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And your daughter will be driving schools, sometime so. This year, maybe?
Not until next summer.
Oh, okay.
Because we waited to
yeah.
get our permit.
Isn't that, you know? That happens so often, like over half of kids.
Isn't mm-hmm. that so, like, I don't know about
know.
You guys, when I turned 16, it's like, I will be there the day.
That was
yes.
me pulling out of the parking
like,
lot.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
And it's just, kids are like, yeah, I didn't wait until I was 17, 18. I'm like, mm-hmm. you did what?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
A couple of my kids will probably have to I'll have to push them to
it's
get
okay.
it.
It's okay. So. Now that I'm paying the insurance bill, I'm like, it's okay if you wait.
Yeah, this is true. This
that
is true.
That is a good point.
So, well, with back to school, we've had a lot of new things going on at church. Life group started again. Kids moved up. Promotion week. Church attendance, we had really, really full congregation. So it was great.
Yeah, I mean, we had the life group switch, four groups switch to come into the 11 o'clock service and meeting at 9:30. And when the service started last week, I was like, oh, you can tell these groups switched. And then about halfway through the second song, I really thought, you actually cannot now
no,
tell.
No.
Once people got their kids settled in classes, new classes, and I told the 11 o'clock, I was like, hey, welcome to the 11 o'clock for those of you who switched, and there was not room for you at 9:30.
No, no.
Yeah, so.
Praise God. Like, his timing.
Yeah, it yeah. really.
Actually, we probably should have done this a year ago. We
yeah.
probably have people who have not come, but. This time it's good. We
yeah.
we got in tune.
It does make us think like, oh, what is next?
I know.
But
I have some ideas.
That's for the
You're like,
Lord
no,
to help
no,
us with.
No ideas.
Oh yeah, that's for the Lord to help us with.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
well,
right.
Speaking of next, you're starting a new sermon series.
Hey, that was a great transition.
Well,
I will
was.
Give you a that's a 10. That's a 10. I'm judging.
And, but we're pre-recording. We actually started it last Sunday. Yes. This
okay.
Past
sorry
Sunday.
About
oh,
that.
Okay.
Oh
well,
man,
you're getting used
oh,
to that.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You got to get used to that. All right. So I will deduct. To point to
you've been watching too much of the
last
gymnastics.
Week. Last week we started a new sermon series.
That's
and,
right.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's called Jesus Freaks. So why do we call it Jesus Freaks?
You're not allowed to say that word.
We are Jesus.
That's a dirty
freaks.
Word.
Yeah, I mean, that song was big in the 90s, and the 90s are cool again, and that was our real motivation, honestly, is to relive our glory days. Just kidding, it's not. So why don't you tell them the real motivation?
In hindsight, those are not my glory days. Those are not my glory
don't
days.
You feel, I've said that to our students, like, in working with them, like, listen, guys, no, if you peak in middle school or high school, like,
that's it.
That's sad.
That's not
like,
good. I have friends. Then, it's sad. Actually, it's really
yeah,
sad.
It is.
It's really sad. They were cool in middle school and high school, though. It just got real.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway,
none of them are listening.
Yeah.
So, well, we're going through Colossians chapter 1 and 2, and it really is just about how. Central.
No, spill my coffee.
I'm trying to be a little like fancier. How central Jesus is.
Just you be you. Don't be fancy.
I was in Nashville last week, so you know
oh,
I got to talk.
Yeah, that's right. You're preparing to be fancy.
Yeah,
in Nashville.
Yeah, that's right.
Welcome back to the Boggy Boy.
That's
Come
right.
On.
No. So Jesus is central, and really, if we believe who he is, it makes everything about our life be devoted to him. And
yeah.
so. we should be called a Jesus freak. And so we really wanted to just talk about what does that mean. And truthfully, we're like, hey, this is a great opportunity to have some fun with 90s stuff. So granted, our graphic is more early 90s than late 90s. Late 90s is grungy.
Early 90s. It has kind of had that Saved by the Bell look, which I think is kind of
that
cool.
Is true. It does have that. That is true.
I like that. I like that. So
that's true. It does. It wow. Does. Yeah. I like it.
Our communications team, media team.
Ooh, I'm going to use that in a sermon
that.
Be like, you might be saved with the bell, but you're not going to be saved from hell.
No, please don't do that. Unless it's really obvious you're making a joke.
That's painfully. Why we can't do sermon prep meetings, because you'd be like, is he messing with me right now?
Make a good reel out of that.
Yeah, that's true. You'd have to make it painfully obvious. Like, hey, guys, what I'm about to say is a joke.
That's right. I know. Well, you can hear in our church, like, the rolling laughter at my humor sometimes. Like, some people get it right away, and then it just kind of, like, moves
it's
to
registered.
The back. Yeah.
Well, and I think one of the fun things that we are doing in this series, we're going through the Colossians, so the sermons are based on the text, but the sermon titles are based off of worship songs from that era, and we're going to be singing some of those songs.
Like this past Sunday.
Yeah. Wow. So we brought back Lord, I Lift Your Name on High in a cool little mashup way, and so we've got some
Did anybody do the motions?
I'm came from I was at the
heaven,
piano.
Wait, hold on.
I was at
motions?
Piano, heaven,
that had
earth?
Motions?
Yeah,
it did.
Oh, you went to a really conservative youth group,
yeah,
apparently.
I guess
because
so.
Y'all weren't allowed to move your hands.
Oh, man. We thought we were so cool when we got to sing that song because we got to move.
Think about
anyway.
That
yeah, so that is what we're doing with Jesus Freaks.
Mm.
Okay, so for people that are probably not familiar with that term, Jesus Freak, what does that come from? What's the meaning behind it?
Yeah. I am just really creative. And I just came up. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so we weren't alive in the 60s and 70s.
No,
well, you
right.
were alive in the
70s.
You were alive in the late 70s, but not in the early
70s. Hey, we all went to the school in the 1900s.
That's right. I know. Oh, goodness, I know.
The three of us, not everyone listening.
And so, that's true. So, there was a term that arose for a group of people in the late 60s, early 70s called Jesus Freaks. Now, the reason they were called that is because calling somebody a something freak was kind of common. Like, a lot of people who were hippies did drugs, and so they might be called, like, you know, an acid freak or whatever it might be. And so for a group that was growing in number, they were Jesus freaks. And so perhaps, did you guys see the movie Jesus Revolution?
I saw the first half and we fell asleep. Not because it was bad, because we were tired and we have not watched the second half.
Okay, well, I thought it was pretty good. But it really is that movement, the Jesus movement, if you will. And so, you know, a lot of that was tied to some of the charismatic movement of that era, speaking in tongues, manifestations of the Spirit, and just people who became, you know, really devoted to Jesus. But it actually became even more general than just the charismatic movement, and it described kind of that group who were hippies, you know, in the 60s, 70s, who are now were becoming Christians, but with a different style than what, you know, had been associated with evangelical Christianity, which was more of the wear your suit to church, you know, vote Republican for sure, you know, all those things. And I would also say alongside that was the music. You know, music was changing. Worship music was changing, at least amongst non-denominational movements, Calvary Chapel, charismatic movement, moving away from singing songs that were 100 years or older or so to songs that were kind of matching the rhythms of that moment. And so it really gave this new birth, if you will, to the church in America during that period of time. And that's where the phrase comes from.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a really good book. I just happened to look it up because I couldn't remember the name, because that's me. But it's called No Compromise. It's actually the biography of Keith Green, who was really the pioneer of this kind of movement. He was, in his biography, it goes into detail. It's written by his wife. He tragically died, but he was a hippie. He was drugs, everything. And then God saved him. And then he really helped lead this, was an instrument voice in writing a lot of these songs, and, you know, communal living as Christians, kind of the hippie Christian kind of version. You know, some of the older songs, like Lord, You're Beautiful, that's one of his songs. There's plenty more that if you were alive in the 70s and 80s and 90s and as were involved in church, you probably heard some of those songs.
Right, so. Right. Yeah, so for us, the phrase became big again in the 90s because
DC Talk
of DC Talk. Yeah. So, and they had a song called Jesus Freak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I talked about it last week, how big of an album that was and how big of a song that was. And so you almost had a repeat in the 90s. And so just like right now, the 90s are cool. Remember in the 90s when the 70s were getting cool? Like people were wearing, I don't know if bell bottoms, but close to it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so kind of there was this almost revival again of Christianity, specifically young adults in Christianity. Again, a lot of that was tied to music. Because a lot of Southern churches now at this point finally started doing music that wasn't just hymns.
Right.
Yeah, and then you had the birth of, like, contemporary Christian
CCM
Magazine was born.
Was
and
it? Was there really a magazine?
There's called CCM Magazine. I mean, just similar to, like, People Magazine. It was CCM Magazine. You had all these artists who were up and coming, and it became, like, a big – I could probably at that point it was simultaneously, you know – there were a lot of very smart business people involved who knew how to market well. And so a lot of it was pushed that way. Mm-hmm. But really, a lot of these songs became mainstream. When you talk about Jesus Freak, I mean, I remember I think it was my senior year we graduated, and that song was out, and we are on a mission trip, and in the van every day on the way to the site where we're serving, we would listen to Jesus. We were so cool, right? You know, pump up Jesus Freak, and we're all singing it and going out to site. So, you know, in similar ways, other people have very strong memories to songs. That song is forever seared in my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the difference between, you know, you hear that term Jesus Freak, and it can have the negative connotations with it, or some positive. But what do you think is the difference between somebody who's the Jesus Freak or someone who's just really in love with the Lord and is fully committed to Him?
Well, motive is part of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we should be people who are known by being like Jesus, you know, Jesus. I mean, the word says, like, we'll be known by our love. Like, we'll be known by how we're marked out differently in character and conduct and all these things, but also in, like, not just those things, also like how we orient our lives, how we spend our time, how we treat people. Everything about us should be marked by Jesus. And I think the difference is some people would try to label themselves as Jesus freak, and they're really just like they wear it as a badge, like when and they're just jerks. And they like gotta, you know, use that like, well, I'm just trying to honor Jesus. Like, well, you're actually just being rude. And you're judgy, and you know, like, this is not working. Like, so I think there's a motive is a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, this is really about more than just this issue. I mean, I think that there's when you become a Christian, there's your genuine love and passion for Jesus, and then there is some good in like being validated by the community, but if being validated by the community becomes your identity, then you could easily become someone who, whatever it might be, whatever, you know, and we use the phrase Jesus freak right now, but whatever that ideal Christian should be, that becomes your identity versus being who God made you to be and responding to Him. And I think it's a lot easier to say, so like, let's use conservative moralism, right? Like, it's so much easier to say, hey, I don't drink and I don't cuss and I vote Republican than it is to say, I'm going to love the people in my life who are hard to love and I'm going to be forgiving. Like, so take that. It's so much easier to just exchange that moralism for a new moralism and to say, I'm going to vote Democrat and I'm going to, you know, drive a Prius. Sorry,
it's okay.
It's okay.
And I am going to drink, right? Yeah. Like, you know, I'm a cool Christian now.
This is now what's going to make me this kind of Christian and I'm going to be cooler. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And I mean, we see this like, you know, played out in churches and we constantly feel that tension to be like, okay, well, what's going to be our thing as a church, right? Like, what's going to be what makes us who we are? And while there are things unique to Niceville in any context that are going to just be like a part of we're reaching the culture, we then want to say, but the culture that we're trying to create is centered around the gospel. I've been talking about that 2 weeks ago. You know, it's a grace culture. And I think we all, I mean, especially in leadership, I feel like we all have to just keep watch on ourselves, that we don't try to prove ourselves to others.
Yeah,
you know? Absolutely. Well, I mean, there's courses. There's literally courses you can sign up for as a pastor, and it's like guaranteed to double your attendance in 6 weeks. Like, because that if that's your goal,
told me I need to lose 40 pounds.
there's all kinds of points. They'll tell you the hard truth, but it's these things are we can do that as a church. We can do that as a people. And you know, I think going back to like reflecting on my time, like I mean, I was in a youth group, and I remember like when these songs came out and. And a lot of what was I don't think it was intentionally taught, and it could just be how I received it. But I do think it was somewhat in how it was emphasized. It's like you do these things, and that this is what makes you a Christian. And I remember thinking, like, I really should only listen to Christian music.
Yeah,
and really struggling with the fact that I liked other music, but feeling like.
Celine Dion.
It wasn't Celine Dion. But just more like, and I remember thinking, I shouldn't listen to that.
Moment.
That song
that
has
her?
Like,
is that
I don't
her?
Know.
Who is that?
Oh, okay.
From this moment. What is it? That's Shania Twain.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, they were kind of the same contemporaries, weren't they?
Yeah. One was like pop and one was country. She was the Celine Dion.
But they were both on VH1.
There you go. Probably still
but
are.
But you didn't watch that.
Yeah.
You can't watch that if you're like.
So
it became these rules.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I remember like finally realizing like. When I was listening to some music, and I was just in college, I was listening to some music, and this guy was like, "Why are you listening to that?" And I was like, "Because it's Christian." He's like, "Yeah, but it's crap." And I was like, and he wasn't talking about what they're saying.
You didn't like the small town poets?
And I was like, and I remember being like, "You're right. I don't have to like this just because it's by a Christian artist." I mean, and you're kind of learning to separate those things.
Yeah. So I'm curious to hear from you guys, because I became a Christian in 97 and then didn't really start actively going to church until 99. So like when I hear I was like introduced to all of it, but was kind of like, and actually part of my testimony is I feel like I didn't fit in. And so I kind of like ran. But like, you know, not having grown up in that, I don't feel this need to deconstruct. I guess I would just be curious a little more like. Were there things about that that were traumatic for you? And you don't need to go in, you know, full therapy in case your parents are listening. But like, you know,
my parents
were there
listen,
things
so.
That you really were like, man, I really had to like process that from the 90s.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of weird cultural things that happened. I was thinking, well, and you mentioned something about the marketing part of it. And I think that that played such a huge piece in it because that's when. You know, TV was more and people were like, oh, we can make money off
up.
Of
yeah,
this,
yeah.
You know? And so like, how can we do this? How can we market it? And so I was a teenager during that time, and sorry if anybody likes this, but I thought like the whole purity rings and culture like that, like people would have like ceremonies and now I'm like, that's a little odd when I think about it, you
and
know?
Especially if you, like, do some research into some of the roots of that. Like, it's, like, a good idea that maybe gets overemphasized, like, it's overemphasizing that piece of culture, for sure. I think, I mean, you said that about music. I remember there were actually charts that would come in the mail of, like, if you like this, it'd be a list of secular bands or singers. If you like this singer or this band, you
now
should
you
try
like
this.
Cutlass.
But I would say,
what
like,
if you like Sandy Patty? Who would you like?
I don't know.
Who would you like?
I don't know
about
that. Oh wait, no, she was Christian, right?
Yeah,
okay,
Christian,
never mind.
Yeah, so
she was a contemporary for Dolly Parton.
Yeah,
you like Dolly Parton?
I don't have like traumatic experiences. I think Christy and I were actually talking about this recently because we watched the documentary "Shiny Happy People" on Amazon about the Duggar family. And I was sharing like how in that whole movement of IBLP really.
Could you unpack that acronym?
Man, independent. No, it's not that.
Institute of Learning Principles.
Mm-hmm. It's if you watch the documentary.
Okay.
But really, there was this emphasis on very idealistic, like this is the role of the husband, this is the specific role of the wife, and children are meant to be obedient. And I mean, children do need to obey, but it was an overemphasis on behavior. And now you've seen a lot of the Duggar children have grown up and deconstructed or rebelled. And I think that wasn't my home. And I think partly because like in my home growing up, like both my parents worked and that wasn't the culture of our church at all. And growing up in which it was a Southern Baptist small town church at the time. I think like but that is a thread that a lot of people, I think, have had to deconstruct from the time that we grew up. But I do think there was this heavy emphasis on behavior.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that was probably in response, you know, if you track all these things, you know, throughout the decades, that it's pendulum responses. And I think a lot of that was responsive to some of the thing, the hippie culture. And then these parents mm-hmm. grown up and are like, no, we're going to swing the pendulum this way. I think that's just a thread in it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah. I guess I would say, like, I felt like, you know, there was like this bar that was set. Right. And so I, you know, ended up sleeping with a girl when I was in high school, when I just started going to church, actually. And so, like, I was like, all right, that's it. I can never do it. Like, and it really felt like that. It was like, okay, now you can be on the B team, you know, like as a Christian, like, you know, so like, I do think, again, I hope my children hold to biblical marriage and save themselves for marriage. And we talk about purity and all those things, but like, there was just, and can be just a weird, I think, proving ourselves to others, mm-hmm, you know, and it's not a grace culture, because we need. And then I think young people see when, okay, now so-and-so's daughter, you know, is pregnant. How does this church actually live out that, you know, mm-hmm. when it doesn't happen? And I do feel like there are churches where people already are dealing with so much guilt and shame, mm-hmm. and now they don't fit this image that was being sold.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And I think, like, I mean, this is maybe tying the thread from what you said about the purity culture to that. I think probably one of the things that you do see kind of people deconstructing from who grew up in that was, like, usually in those things, the emphasis was on, save yourself from marriage, but it was almost a lot more about the girl saving herself. And if the guy didn't, then it was like, oh, well, boys do that. And it wasn't like necessarily emphasized, like, in the redemption necessarily wasn't really emphasized in that either. So I think mm-hmm. that was a piece of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There you go.
And another side to it, you know, I mean, I think that's the emphasis, but then you have other things that I think are more like preference related, and that a lot of people take their preferences and then they like try to take these verses and make it fit their preference. That's and good. Then mm-hmm. it becomes
modest is hottest. You know, it was definitely taken out of context.
That said that, yeah,
and it had 1 Corinthians 14 where it says conceal the immodest parts of the body, which is about the weaker parts of the body, which is about protecting the vulnerable in the church.
The church. Yeah. Wow. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah. Proof texting.
It's like, I don't think that means you can't bear midriff. Not that you should bear midriff. Yeah. Remember that was a phrase in the '90s, bear midriff.
Bear midriff.
Do people still say that?
I don't know.
Okay. Shania Twain bear midriff.
She did. On VH1.
Well, back to our 90s. This is
Kelly's our new host, and you will have a challenging time every week.
Rein it back in.
All right.
So, you're married to Chris Brown. You have to rein it in a lot, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Actually, he's pretty PC.
He is pretty PC.
He works for the school system.
He's a smart man.
He exchanged his CDs for the new ones. You know?
There you go. Well, since we're on a 90s kick, let's talk about your favorite 90s Christian, of course, bands.
I mean, you can't mention 90s Christian music and not mention Stephen Curtis Chapman at all. If you do, you are you're reprobate.
Like, was he still big in the late 90s?
That's what I was wondering.
He was big.
Because I was late 90s.
Yeah, he was big in the late 90s. All the 90s. He was still big in the 2000s. I mean, he's still writing
when
songs.
When was he diving in? When was that?
That was in the mid-90s, late 90s.
When did he say he will be here?
Oh, I don't know.
When did Butterfly Kiss
song.
Kisses?
That's not him. Oh, don't blame that on him.
Okay.
Don't blame that song on him.
When did Butterflies Kiss? That's really
that
a sweet
was a
song.
Country guy. I can't remember his name. That was a country guy. Christian's just
that's
sort
not
of like,
the comedian, or did he just sing that?
That was Mark Lowry did Mary Did You Know. He was a comedian.
Really? Mark Lowry did Mary Did You Know?
He wrote Mary Did You Know. Yeah.
A comedian did? That's pretty funny.
All right. So,
sorry.
I would say, man, I listened to it all. I loved, as a singer, I loved Avalon.
Yes.
Testify to Love. Adonai. There was another song that was like a big song of theirs.
Who sang Redeemer? That was a good one.
Nicole C. Mullen.
Oh, okay.
No. That's the best part of the whole song.
Wow, that's pretty good.
I promise you, if that song comes on, I will listen to it and wait for that part, and just so I can go, no.
I'm going to make a pastoral request for this series.
There you go.
It really was a good song. Why don't we like those songs anymore, though? Like, because I don't, and I'm asking.
Because they got overused.
They just got overplayed, Caleb. Overplayed.
I still like Jesus Freak, though.
Yeah, I would say Avalon was like, because of vocally stuff. I mean,
isn't that why you bought a Toyota to Avalon in college.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's funny. And then, I mean, Jars of Clay was big at that point, too. And then...
If I can't... How's it go? Swim after...
After 40... Yeah, that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember the lyrics.
It's called Flood.
And Third Day was... I mean, Third Day was coming into their own at the end of the 90s. Mm-hmm.
They actually sang a lot of scripture, which was cool.
Third Day was great. I mean, they were... Yeah.
He came, I mean, like, there were dudes who loved Jesus who had this kind of voice, and they were like, man, I don't know my purpose. And then, like, Kurt Cobain and Pearl Jam happened, and they're like, I'm called to such a time as this. And they just, like, started Cutlass, you know, all that.
All these bands. So, what about you?
So, Jeremy Camp.
Well, kind of the same thing. I had Third Day, DC Talk, Jars of Clay.
Yeah.
Me too.
My other question is, what did you listen to this on?
I had a Discman. In my Jeep Wrangler. And
that's my dream car.
Yeah, mine too, again.
You just can't put enough kids in it.
No, not a bit. Well, I had... And
can we get matching Jeep Wranglers?
At this stage of life, maybe we could, like, split it and afford it.
For Pastor Appreciation Month.
Right.
You think Michael would drive a Jeep Wrangler with us?
He would do it. Oh, Michael would love a Jeep.
Okay, okay.
You had to have the tape cassette tape adapter to put in the tape player to listen to your CD. That was how I was listening to it. I did have a pretty sweet stereo in my dorm room in college, though. Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, I really like rap, but because I had listened to a lot of 90s rap, and the Christian rap at that time, I felt like
great.
A was not as good, and it just kind of, because I listened to 90s rap and like didn't have a good heart in it. Like, it was just kind of like dirty feeling for me. And I think people were telling me that too. So, like, you know, because that was not, you weren't a good Christian who was white in the South if you listened to Christian rap. And so, you know, I
there's still people who think that.
But Toby Mac bridged the gap for us white evangelical to listen to Christian rap.
And he's still like producing, like, he's definitely in his mid to late 50s.
Wow.
He should not be doing some of the dance moves he
does, but he's still making good music, too. It, like, if you listen to it, it's still really good music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is good. I listened. Yeah, I had a CD player. Yeah.
A CD player. Mm-hmm. I had this probably like the same kind of boombox. Well, you're a little bit older than me. But I remembered, you know, you'd have to listen to the radio, and then you could record the radio on your cassette tape
record
and make a play.
Did you ever record your own radio show, Justin, on a cassette tape?
I did not do that. Okay. Surprisingly, actually, but I did record some songs. I would call in and make requests, and call the radio station, make requests, and then record it.
Wow. Hi, this is Justin Wyatt.
They're like, thanks, man. I'm not a man.
Avalon.
I know.
I don't know the name of the song. How does it go? No.
Well, I'm not really sure how I'm supposed to wrap this up.
I don't know if you can.
Well, thanks for listening, guys.
Hey, you can ask for questions.
Okay. Yeah, if you guys have any questions, want to let us know your song choices and your favorite 90s band, send them our way.
Yeah,
send them
it.
To
Bye.
You. Send them to you.
Send them to Kelly.
KELLY at churchonbayshore.org. Yeah. All right. So this is how you do the outro.
Okay.
You just say, hey, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. So ready? Go. Great.
Hey, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.